session, we were talking about Senate Bill 303, and we had heard negative testimony from the Division of Family and Human Services, concerned about the effects on their own personnel, but expressing that they had no other objections to the bill. There is in your packet a committee substitute which meets their objection by stating that state-employed social workers, regardless of their formal training, can continue to be known as social workers if they do not perform private services to the public. And there was also a letter of intent explaining that change. We will be receiving a letter from the Division of Family and Youth Services saying that they understand that they are expected to work with the Division of Personnel to give modified criteria that will favor those people who want jobs who have formal social work education credits, undergraduate or graduate. And so this measure has, as revised, meets the approval of the Social Workers Organization and the Family and Youth Service Division. I would like to report the committee substitute and the letter, have a letter of intent put in the journal.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, let's say that somebody's a private practice with the title, label, et cetera, of social work.
Yeah.
Okay, now they come back and they work for the state. They're not going to be called social workers anymore.
Yes, they will. If they've been in the private sector of social
workers. And then move back and move into the state. I guess what I'm saying, we may have two state employees doing the same thing. The person who really qualifies as a social worker and the person who really doesn't qualify, but they're doing the functions of a social worker. I guess my problem is with the state agency is that we put people in positions that really don't qualify for the position they're working in. And that's where I have a problem. I think they should be qualified.
I agree with that, especially because we now offer social work courses in the state.
Right.
But if you look at the letter of intent, Senator, it states that in allowing state workers performing social work functions to be known as social workers without meeting the criteria applicable among social workers in the private sector, the committee expects that the division, as promised, will modify the criteria to favor candidates who have received formal education at the bachelor's or graduate levels in social work. Your committee notes that academic undergraduate education and social work is now available at two campuses of the University of Alaska. It is intended that the division will be taking this step and others with a view to making incremental improvements in the academic qualifications of persons rendering social work services within the project. This, I might also say, Senator Fisher, is almost identical language to what exists in the Psychology Board chapter, where personnel working for the state may call themselves psychologists, even though they would not qualify to call themselves psychologists if holding themselves out to consumers in the private sector.
I guess where I'm coming from, Mr. Chairman, is when you get involved in some cases, when you find out about some cases, if it's a situation where interviews are being held, say an obvious specific case, in the case of sexual abuse of a minor, okay, and if they don't have the skills in the interview, can really screw up that person who's been charged, even though there's no, you know, they're found out later they're not guilty. And I would want to make sure that that education is there for those skills, and this doesn't do that, does it? You see it?
The original bill didn't do it either, in the sense that it grandfathered existing employees for a 2-year or so period. Mm-hmm. The substitute bill probably does it less, because it gives a permanent grandfathering and indeed an exemption for new employees. Mm-hmm. But it does express the intent of the committee and the Division has concurred with this, that we're going to be looking for more and more training of these people. So it's a step forward, but that's about all I can say for it. It's incrementally better than the status quo. It will encourage people who want social work careers to go to social work schools, because they're going to, when they sign up on the register, there will be points awarded for that are not awarded anymore for equivalent points for history and sociology and mathematics and so forth.
But on the register, it's not classified as social work, is it?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, it is.
Classified as social work. Okay, so we have a motion on this and get this out. It has a certain...
I'll move it out. It's been recommended.
The bill has us done a referral to finance. The chair signs to do this. 72, rape kits and training, we have fiscal notes, one from the Department of Public Safety for $122,000, one from the Department of Law for $87,900 for a total of $209,900. Dennis DeWitt of the Hospital Association has reported by telephone that he feels that unless the medical profession is included, the departments will not understand the needs of emergency room doctors in the medical profession, which could result in a lack of cooperation and the ultimate undoing of a good concept. He recommends involvement in the medical advisory committee of emergency room personnel in the development of the protocols. This bill is sponsored by authors of Senator Curtulo. And there are amendments from the sponsor.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
On that point raised by the Hospital Association, isn't that something that could easily be handled by a letter of intent? It would be required change in the law itself.
Yes. Yes, we could do that.
It just seems to me that writing in everyone who ought to be consulted might just be a little bit too much.
In your packet, then, is a in the packet, then, is revision. Actually, is this a substitute?
We have a sponsor substitute in the packet.
Yeah, do you see this, though?
Another letter from Senator Curtulo right here.
Training and use of protocols. Does the fiscal note attach to this or to the sponsor substitute?
It's attached to the sponsor substitute that speaks to training programs.
So I should not conduct anything. What are the differences then? Because can you tell me quickly?
Was sent to Paul. I have a copy.
It should be in your.
Specifically mentioned training, does it?
No, but the fiscal note does talk about training.
Okay, so the differences have to do with the role of the different departments and the express mention of training, is that right? Does anyone wish to testify on Senate Bill 72 in any form? Okay. Does the committee understand the difference then between the sponsor substitute and the commission?
It's maybe eliminating health and social services in the first paragraph and adding in this section.
And adding the training part. Okay. Well, there are two different departments in the official notes. Now, there, Nancy, would we need a one from health and social services, too?
We have a zero fiscal note for health and social services.
So the cost of the program is a combination of what you see from public safety and what you see from Department of Law. The cost is in excess of $200,000.
Health and Social Services does endorse the measure.
Yes, thank you. There's also a message from the Senate Advisory Council on this indicating that we've had problems with prosecuting sexual offenders because vital evidence has not been collected because of the use of different sexual assault kits throughout the state and a lack of a uniform protocol manual.
Mr. Chairman, I'm satisfied with this.
I'm satisfied.
I have just one question. Public safety. It seems I keep thinking that they've been saying that they're understaffed, and yet this will take just take away from this act. See, because program is a bunch of garbage. They don't have any regular time for the trip, I guess, why would they only do it on an overtime basis, unless I'm reading it wrong?
I suppose because the trooper is fully utilized and they don't want to hire a second person.
Then on the other side, the Department of Law is $49,000. Why would the same person, I guess what I'm looking at, why can't we just hire one person instead of having two different individuals that are functioning different?
Department of Law requests sufficient funds to hire an associate attorney who will be responsible for writing and advising the protocols. This position will also be responsible for developing police agency training packages, and the position will develop and provide ongoing training for health and social service care providers. The biggest single obstacle is the training of health care providers and private doctors. There is no mechanism to command their attention at standardized attendance at standardized training courses, nor would such a mechanism be a practical solution. Consequently, the Department of Law believes that this critical link can best be assured by providing on-site training and consultation to healthcare providers on a recurring basis. Recurrent on-site training will also be of vital importance for the staffs of HESS and the Council on Domestic Violence and their contractors. The associate attorney will be located within the Violent Crime Sexual Assault Supervisor in the Office of the Chief Prosecutor. I gather the position will require someone to be outside the office actually talking to healthcare providers in the field.
Okay, then the nurse will be contracted through the Department of Public Safety. And she, in turn, will have to deal with training.
The attorney will be going out to talk to doctors and nurses. And that's also indicated in the public safety. I guess, and a nurse we'll talk about the use of the sexual assault kits. I suppose there's an overlap of things the attorney knows and things the nurse knows, correct?
I think so.
It's an interdisciplinary. Oh, anything else? Can we include a motion on committee substitute, which will take into account the presence of divisions?
Mr. Chairman, I move the committee substitute.
As okay. Which is the version just submitted by Senator?
Right. And reported out with individual recommendations.
Okay. No. Objection.
Also have a letter of intent about including Dr. Dubois.
Yes, and we'll have a letter of intent implementing Mr. Dubois. Thank you. The next item is relating to the student loan program.
Thank you. I'm Jared Romsberg, Director of the Commission on Post-Secondary Education. This bill has principally four sections. The first two sections dealing with the student loan program, the second section dealing with the WICHE student exchange, or the third, excuse me, dealing with the WICHE student exchange program, and the fourth dealing with an institutional authorization part of our law. I'd like to address each one in order. The first two sections dealing with the student loan program contain a number of changes which we have tried to get through for a number of years, and these are pretty small, non-controversial changes for the most part. And what has happened in the past is as the bill has progressed through, people have amended it and added other things to the bill, and it's never gotten through, and we sincerely would appreciate some of these changes.
Library Rumper, let me just interrupt you because in the interest of time. As I understand it, looking at the governor's letter, the four-year problem on military comes up because under existing law, a person could enter as a basic training rookie, stay in the military for 30 years, and have a deferral for a 4-year period.
That's correct.
And we talked about that last year, and
that's right.
Cleans that up. Second one has to do with providing an incentive for someone to not default. one incentive is that if the person's in default on their prior loan, they don't get another one.
Correct.
And the notes are structured, aren't they? Are the notes structured so that an undergraduate's note would not become due until they complete education?
Yes.
The graduate note?
Yes.
So that's not a problem. I mean, that's correct. If, for example, my son who graduates college this year is eligible for a post-secondary loan to study archaeology and get a PhD, he doesn't have to worry that he's not going to be eligible until he pays the first note back.
No.
So I don't want to preempt you, but I just think that's a... If my understanding is correct, then I think we all have the same framework. What about Section 3?
Okay, the other... There is one other section that changed that you did discuss last year, and you didn't mention now that I would like to point out. It's on the second page there, and that's the one adding all of these, the list here of why you can be gone for 2 years without running afoul of our 2-year physical present requirement. And that's what was discussed before this committee last year, and you may recall a person who's outside of school and so on. So there's really no change from last year on that. The Section 3 then deals with WICHE. And that's the WICHE Student Exchange Program. And it's been the practice under WICHE Student Exchange that any time a field became available in Alaska, we no longer would support a student to attend outside the state. Now graduate nursing at the master's level is available in Anchorage. So we have proposed deleting it from the WICHE Student Exchange Program, which is exactly what line 6 on page 3 does. It also deletes petroleum engineering, which, by the way, has never been an exchange field. It was one that was added by the legislature when they did add architecture. A few years back, someone thought it would be a good idea to have petroleum engineering as a field, and they stuck it in our law, but the other 12 states have never agreed to it, so we can't send in petroleum engineering anyway. So deleting that has absolutely no effect.
Can you get a PhD in graduate nursing?
It is. There is a PhD available through an exchange that we have that requires no money to change hands right now, so a person can attend a PhD in nursing if they wish to. This program is for master's only.
But I mean, if we strike out graduate nursing, do we deprive some Alaskan student of the opportunity to get a doctorate in nursing?
No, you're going to deprive some from getting a master's, and this is something we have found out since this was drafted, and that is that even though there is a program available on Anchorage, some persons that would like to get a master's in graduate nursing in certain fields of nursing cannot do so in Anchorage, and they can, for instance, if they go down to the University of Washington.
Does the WICHE compact require this change?
No. This is just in keeping with what the legislature had us do in the past. That is, if it's available in Alaska, delete it.
Do you have any way of determining if I apply for to study graduate nursing and I want to study in San Diego? You tell me that the program is available in Anchorage. I tell you that the field I want is only available in San Diego. Have you got a way of determining if that's a bona fide contention or not?
Do we have a way? Yes, I guess we do.
So we could say that, I mean, one alternative might be to say graduate nursing, if the scope of study is not available in Alaska. If the area of specialty is not available.
If I may, I think if that's the wish of the committee, I think a better way of doing it is leave graduate nursing in here. And, since you serve on the Commission on Post-Secondary Education, by regulation, we can restrict it to specific fields that aren't available in state and don't need to change the law at all.
All right, so we could strike out petroleum engineering on the basis.
Sure, that serves no purpose for being in. Section 4.
Mr. Chairman, this is a good question. How about the field of music? How does a student? There is no music program in the state, right?
And there's none through here.
Okay, so. Okay, so they just have to, this is just the tuition program.
Okay, that's correct. Mm-hmm. Section 4 has to do with our institutional authorization portion, and the Attorney General's office, in reviewing our statutes in a recent case that we were reviewing with one of the institutions, found that one reference for a violation dealing with AS 1448.020 then again refers you to another part of the law. He felt, in terms of these kinds of cases, it would be much more clear if the if both actual citations were listed, and that's what this does.
Okay. Have we covered it then?
Yes. If you do delete graduate nursing, there's no need to change. There's no need for Section 5 or Section 6, because those were dealing with phasing out the nursing students in some kind of an orderly fashion.
And there aren't petroleum engineering students.
There are no petroleum engineering students. control meeting. Okay, so section 5 and 6 can be deleted.
That's correct.
And then the effective date with under 7, it would just be the effective date of the act as opposed to section 5. Okay.
Okay.
And there's no fiscal impact at all.
Gentlemen?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I move a committee substitute within the changes that were discussed and reported, and that we reported out with individual recommendations.
Heard the motion. Is there objection?
Object.
Not. That's the order.
Mr. Chairman, now that Senator Halford is here, I will be adjourned. No, I withdraw that. Mr. Chairman, I would suggest that when this bill is reported to the floor, that President and the finance chairs be advised that there is a zero fiscal note with this, so maybe a finance referral can be avoided.
Okay. I think we should hold up from reporting to the floor the bill with the letter of intent and this bill until Tuesday so that I can be here. Without any other business, the chair.